from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
1 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Reminder, tomorrow we're back up in St. Joe for Chiefs training camp. No practice today, so you're not missing anything. Nothing going on. A lot of the players, as of yesterday afternoon, early evening, got to go, back to Kansas City or wherever they want to go for basically 24 hours. And then, so I guess some of maybe lower level guys on the roster that, just stayed up in St. Joe or whatever. But tomorrow, first padded practice, and we'll be up there broadcasting live. The only show, only station in Kansas City broadcasting from camp. Looking forward to that tomorrow. Pads, real thing.
Official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what we are, Gold.
That's it. That's
respected.
Exactly right. That's
respected in this community. Is our show respected yet?
I hope so by now.
I mean, we're almost full 5 years in.
We are going on
that's
5 years.
That's a pretty...
Years. We are.
Honestly, I don't think we... When we first started, I was like, we're not 5 years.
You never know in radio, man. You never know.
You have to take... If they had said 4.5... If they had set the over-under at 4.5 years, you'd have had to take the under at the beginning.
Let's just be real.
Radio's crazy.
Until recent history at this station, that you would have had to take the under.
What's your over-under on the next four and a half?
This station is more stable now than ever before, I think.
I think so.
What was the question?
I have to set a new... Starting now, another 4.5 years.
So we're still doing this show in this exact same time slot and everything?
No, just me and you on a show together.
I'll take the over.
Oh, look at you. An optimist.
I'll take the over.
Are you not the optimist?
Yeah, like, we're trying to
again, it's radio. It feels kind of... I'll take the over, but, Vegas would tell you that it's minus 110 either way.
You never know.
You know.
Cody's banking on winning the lottery here in the next 5 years.
I've decided, you always fantasize about what you do if you win the lottery, right? I buy a new car, I'd go on this vacation, whatever thing you've got in your mind. I have decided that if I ever win like the Mega Millions for like $500 million, what I'm going to do, I'm going to spend $10 million of it convincing the best player in high school basketball to go to UMKC and play basketball.
You want to just be...
I'm going to pay one player.
You want to be Phil Knight of UMKC
I'm going to convince a Zion Williamson-type player. I'm going to put so much money in front of that player.
He can't refuse.
He's going to have to go to UMKC. He'll have no choice. He's going to have to play basketball for the Ruse. I'm going to pay $10 million, and I'm going to get one player to UMKC... Just the best player in the country. Who's the best player in the country coming out this year?
Well,
he's already at Duke.
Okay, it would have been Cooper. He wouldn't have been there. He'd have been a Roo.
Can you imagine
at Duke.
From Maine to Kansas?
If we're pretending like there's not a check amount that they would say, because I don't know what it is.
Well, of course. No, I mean,
$10 million, I think, is it.
In all seriousness, in this crazy, crazy hypothetical, that pick anybody that happens
just
to
buy the whole team,
have money to where they can actually donate $5 or $10 million for NIL for one player at a university. Of course, you could convince somebody. I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
There would have never been more pressure on any head coach in the country than if you
Cooper Flagg. Good luck.
I want to change your the whole trajectory of your program right now. Okay, yeah, I'd love to support it. Well, that's great. Well, I'd love to support it by writing a check for $5 million for you to use directly in NIL to get the best player in the country.
Marvin Minsky's might be boys after that. Are you kidding? He'd be thrilled.
If you went further than that, Cody could drop $50 million on five players, $10 million each. The best recruiting class by far in UMKC history.
I just don't know if we could win the...
Phil says a day one, whoever you recruit would blow out their hamstring.
Oh, man, that would suck.
That'd be the worst luck.
Oh, man. And then you'd be out $5 million with nothing to show for it.
Do you think... Could I buy a Sweet 16? Like, can you buy a Sweet 16 at UMKC?
No team can buy... Because Kentucky didn't
Kansas
get there
didn't
this
buy
year.
One this year. They paid Hunter Dickinson
Kentucky
a lot of money.
Kentucky and Kansas did not get there.
I know they had a chance. Can I buy UMKC a chance? Can I buy him a tournament appearance? Been to the tournament.
Well, if they got Cooper Flagg, yes.
We got AJ Store, right? We paid him enough. He comes down there too. We got some like B-level guys too,
If UMKC had Cooper Flagg and AJ Store, yes, they would win the Summit League. Yes.
Yeah, they're in the track of buying the tournament.
And if they didn't, then there's a lot of questions that need
to be asked.
We're
in the Summit League tournament.
I thought you're picking AJ Store out of everybody else. You just pick AJ Store. Cooper Flagg is going to be the number one
overall
pick
in the
draft.
I was just saying I was paying for some transfers in the portal, you know?
Some says $10 million
enough. That felt like a good place to buy.
Is $10 million enough? I think $10 million enough.
I think $10 million would be enough.
I think so, man. I mean, I don't know if it's enough to get Cooper Flagg, because he's probably getting like four from Duke, but that's a big difference, dude.
And a car that he wants, and any car that he wants. Like, you don't have to do the cash plus the.
That's fine. He can have like the whatever
car,
whatever land, whatever his car is,
house.
In this hypothetical, he can have that too. It's fine.
Thinking of UMKC, has the class filled?
You know what? I haven't checked back in.
Are you teaching this thing?
I haven't checked back in. Last I knew, there were 10 people enrolled. So
you need how many?
Like 12 or 13.
So you're okay.
If you're looking at a class to take at UMKC, I kind of need you to enroll mine if you want me to actually be Professor Tapp.
If you don't know.
Otherwise, I won't even be a professor.
If you don't know, UMKC asked Cody to teach a media class.
That's correct.
But they need a certain, obviously, like anything, they need a certain number of students enrolled by a certain date. And look, it's almost August. We're getting close.
We need to see how much it costs to enroll, because Gold and I think you and I could find a way to just enroll in this class.
Dude, it costs a lot of money.
I don't know what the exact you want me to spend like three. I don't want to insult anybody. I have no idea what you want me to spend $3,000 to take this class from Cody. Hell
that might
no.
Be what it is.
Hell no.
There's you don't
no
respect
way.
Me.
I'm not spending $3,000
as a professor.
No class is worth $3,000.
I'm not having spending $3,000.
At least
on a class.
To my knowledge.
Damn.
No way, man.
Damn. Okay.
No way.
I would hate to go back and find out that one of my classes from college actually was worth $1,500 of my tuition. That'd be disgusting.
UMKC credit hour cost. You can probably find that out pretty easily.
I imagine you could.
I was way high.
I was gonna say a few hundred.
I was way high. I think
like 400 a credit hour or something.
Yeah,
it's a 3 credit hour class. Yeah. $1,200.
That's a student life fee. That's not the school of law. Yeah,
You better make sure these kids get their money's worth, then, Cody.
So it's currently like there's maximum I can have is 18, but I think I need to have 12 in order for it to qualify as a class. So
someone says, Gold, you have extra acting income. You can swing it. Yeah, I mean, the check
you
I
choose
got,
that check.
The check I got wasn't quite enough to cover get another degree. No.
You could start working towards that graduate degree. I knew you always wanted.
Definitely. Because let me tell you, man, what a great investment a graduate degree would be for someone in broadcasting.
In our industry.
I mean, if you just want to throw away money, go get your graduate degree for someone that's a radio host. That's a great investment.
My sister has to take grad school for what she's in.
Oh, it's beneficial for plenty of careers. I'm just telling you.
For ours,
if you want to teach, it's good for our career. Like permanently.
My current job, spending money on a master's would be the dumbest thing ever.
Correct.
It'd be the dumbest decision. Just would.
Okay, well, if you're a UMKC student, you want to be taught by a current radio professional, you know. I can't speak for the other section of this course.
Have you changed your LinkedIn profile? Because I'm sure the kids will be looking up your LinkedIn.
I'm glad you brought it up, Drew. Once the movie comes out, I need to add actor to my LinkedIn as well. That's true.
LinkedIn was the most overrated thing when I was in college. So overrated. You need a LinkedIn page.
I mean, I have
page.
A LinkedIn. I keep it updated.
I don't keep it updated.
It's fine. I mean, like,
I need to be better at it.
I think in some fields, it's probably more beneficial, right? Networking and things like that. Networking is big in every field, but like using LinkedIn. But like, I keep mine up to date. Like, if you were to find mine, everything's up to date on there. It also has still stuff I did 10 years ago on there.
My class, by the way, for those asking, is Communication Studies 383.
383.
I'll be teaching the Monday, Wednesday, I believe it starts at 3 o'clock course.
Yeah. Monday, Wednesday, that must mean it's an hour and a half, right? Or an hour and 15?
Something like that.
Someone says K-State around $1,000 for 3 credit hours.
Maybe that's
so right. UMKC that's might be like, let's call it $700 or something.
I bet it's like between $3 and $3.50.
That means for Butler, I was spending $1,500. That's disgusting. I made the wrong decision. I'm open and
you
honest.
You went to a private school, man.
Yeah, that was a dumb decision. Yeah, not my type of crowd.
Mr. Private
you
School,
you got private
Drew.
School?
Not my type of crowd.
I almost made the Eminem 8 Mile
at all.
Song, obviously. But I know something about you. He went to Cranbrook. That's a private school.
I might have been.
That's
the,
immediately what I thought of when it said private school.
I might have been the poorest. My family might have been the poorest family there. I'm dead serious. With some of the
could have been that bad. He went to private college, man. Like you went to.
And believe me, I'm paying back the money that I'm paying it back.
I'm right there with you, my man.
So
I'm right there
I sent you. An email. I will give you an updated enrollment number. They gave it to me like weeks ago, so I don't know.
Someone said you have a profile on Temu.
Okay, relax. Relax.
Cody said, or somebody said, Cody's going to start his first class with, I'm devastated to report to you that Professor Tapp has passed away. Psych, I'm alive.
That's how you pay off a tease. That's a great.
They don't know who you are. You're going to play. Yeah, you're going to try to be. Are you going to try to crack a joke right away as you walk into that class?
No, I don't think so. That doesn't seem like. I don't think that I would do that. I do know that. In previous experience, in the semesters I taught before, I became the Royals insider, and then before this show, when I had, like, they do listen to the show. So, like, they immediately tune in to hear the things you say.
They're going to find out who's teaching their class. They're going to Google you, find out you host the show. And they're like, wait.
And then they're going to find,
this guy
like,
sings songs on the radio. That's what he does. That's what he's, and that guy's teaching us. That guy? That guy?
Yeah. Yeah, and then just wait till like I say something that I'm not
at least
supposed
to say. I'm glad that you said the course name because we would never Drew and I would never hear the end of it if it was like the art of entertainment. It was taught by Cody Tapp. No. You and I would never hear the end of it if that was the name of your class that you're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So you need three more people.
Far as I know, okay. two to three more people.
All right, there you go, Professor Bancroft.
If you would like, I think if Professor Bancroft's got a good ring to it. Just start going by the middle name for that.
All right, let's talk some Chiefs football, though, a little bit, because so much this offseason right now on the O-line is the left side. Left tackle. Who's going to win the left tackle job? They've been rotating Kingsley, Suamataia, and Wanya Morris. Well, to alleviate some of the pressure, whoever ends up winning that job, it would be nice if Juwan Taylor took a step forward. And how confident are you that that can actually occur? I actually think there's plenty of wiggle room for that to happen because a lot of the issues Juwan Taylor had last year were based off of the first 8 games where we all know opener last year against Detroit, the minute Collinsworth pointed out that he jumps off the line a little early, the league focused in on it. It was highlighted. He was targeted. I think Andy Reid even kind of acknowledged that. Week 2 against Jacksonville, he was called for what 5-7 penalties, something like that. In that one game, they had to pull him out for a drive. Yep. It was a mess. Then later on the year, we really didn't mention his name. We went back and looked up some of the penalties. Yeah, he had a penalty in the AFC title game, a single penalty, but I think that was a holding call, not a false start. Once he got out of that weird area, he was better, and now he has an offseason or had an offseason to clean up some things. So they need him to be better. Look, he's getting paid the way he is. He needs to be better. But also, I think it's not crazy to just say, yeah, for sure he's going to be better, Cody, because so much of his performance was based off of asking him midseason to shift how he had played most of his career. And when he was only called for 6 penalties a year ago in Jacksonville, or 2 years ago in Jacksonville, and now he had
the most
season
penalized player in the league. Look, I am far more confident than maybe I should be. I don't know, because it's hard. When they had signed Juwan Taylor last year, weird vibes. They initially signed him and said, we might make him the left tackle of this team. I think we all, for about 4 days, thought he was going to be the left tackle on this team. And then they signed Donovan Smith, and I guess we're like, oh, I guess he wasn't ever going to be the left tackle. You already signed a left tackle. And now they've drafted left tackles in each of the last 2 years. So they definitely are never thinking about Jawan Taylor ever being a left tackle. He's a right tackle.
Yeah.
So, like, he's not the kind of freak athlete that they thought was the case in the, oh, he could play left or right. He could play anywhere. Look at this guy. They've settled into thinking he can be at that position and that's where he can go. But I'm probably like a 6 or a 7. I guess what I have to really ask myself about Jawan Taylor is, would I be fine with 17 games of how he played for the final 8? Like, are you okay with that level of Jawan Taylor? Because that's really what I'm asking myself. I'm like 8 out of 10 confident that I can get that level of Jawan Taylor for 17 games this year. So just as long as you're fine with that level, which is, I don't know, like the 11th best right tackle. What do you think? 9th, 10th best, you know, like not an average one. Definitely not one of the top 5, not one of the best right tackles in the league. Definitely not one of the worst right tackles in the league. A little better than average, probably. For top right tackle money, well, they paid that on the free agency market. I'd probably take last 8 games Jawan Taylor for 17, wouldn't you?
Well, sure. I mean, not only that, but as someone kind of alluded to a little bit about the future for Jawan Taylor, remember his contract situation. I mean, his money became fully guaranteed for next season already based off of the contract language. I think it was early March. And so it's not like if he had a bad year this year that they can just wipe their hands clean. So they need him not only for performance this year to be better, but if you think there's any scenario somehow where they would, you know, move on from him or whatever, he has to be good enough to get any sort of value too. I think he is going to be a lot better this year because to me, much of the performance was about that weird start and the penalties and just lining up improperly and asking to make the adjustment in season. So I really would be surprised. I truly would. If we don't see a much better season-long outing and performance from Jawan Taylor, to a point where we're not really talking about him. And that should help you when on the left side, whether it's Wanye or Kingsley, whoever wins the left tackle job, there's going to be some growing pains probably there. And so if you have stability on the right side, you got your left guard in Joe Tooney, who's one of the best in football. That'll help your left tackle. Trey Smith, one of the best guards in football on the right side, helping
the
your right tackle.
The interior's got to help.
That interior solidifies and masks a lot of problems. So you're really not asking a ton from your tackles. But
just don't screw it up, which is what Jawan Taylor did for like half a season last year.
I still maintain.
He hurt them more than he helped them.
He did, but I still maintain that he kind of got a raw deal there the first month of the season.
I know a lot of it is like people hate the like, you're making the excuse for player. I mean, he got kind of screwed. They were picking on him. Like, they had decided, because of one standalone game, to open the NFL season, and Chris Collinsworth could not let it go. You know what part of it is? Some of this is the pre-production meeting. How much you want to bet, because they've watched Jawan Taylor play at a different stop, that part of the production meeting was the head coach on the other side saying, man, you got to watch this left tackle. He false starts every time. This is a problem in our league. Because it wasn't even, you remember, Gold, it wasn't even a point of the emphasis going into the year. That's normally what it is. When it becomes a point of emphasis at the beginning of the year, you just know it's going to be a problem. But then the league sent out that memo and said, we're focusing on this and we're not going to let players get away with this. And then they just kind of buried Jawan for half a season. I would take how he played in the playoffs in the second half of the season, fine. He's not a perfect player. This goes down. This is like the Royals.
Of course not.
Argument,
of course not. Like, I mean, he doesn't have to be, though. You know, that's fine.
No. Not even to be the number one offense. He doesn't have to be a perfect player.
I was trying to find the audio from Collinsworth, like talking about it a million times. The only audio I found from Collinsworth that just made me laugh. I think I remember this. Do you remember?
Thank you very much, Kadarius Toney.
Do you know where that was from?
That was week.
Was that when he was offside?
that was one where week he one dropped when he, the ball and it was the touchdown, the pick
that
six.
That was
wasn't
the
it?
Pick six against the Lions.
I mean, you know, when you just say, somebody saying
right through the hands of Tony.
Anyway. That's when we came back. And like every open, I think was
we did that day. That was not a good
yikes.
Time. That was not fun.
He lost him a game.
That game and Chris Jones was in this week. But then fast forward to February and they won the Super Bowl. So
who cares?
What a weird
like juxtaposition. Week one versus the final week of the season. Week one is like it's like he's between two mob goons. In the
his agents,
Chris Jones sitting up
his
in
agents,
the
by
suite,
the way, despite all the
Tony costs in the game,
his agents, by the way, despite everybody, you know, trashing him twice in his career, he got his client mega deals.
Yeah.
Right?
But the holding out is not why. You know what I'm saying?
I understand, but
he's costing money to cost him money,
but they still got done what they needed to get done. Right.
The whole thing in the first time was like, these guys have handled like 7 contracts. Are you sure you want them to handle one of the, you know,
yeah, Chris Jones 10
richest in NFL history?
Yeah. Chris Jones is their biggest client.
Yeah. I think that might be why I don't think like the Bengals fans don't like the Chiefs in general, but last year it didn't really matter because Joe Burrow was hurt. Last year, I think, really bothered Ravens fans, particularly, and Bills fans more, because the Ravens had that chance against this team that couldn't do anything right on offense, had a really good defense, but they struggled, had all these problems, and they still made it to the Super Bowl. Well, I think it bothered Ravens fans and then Bills fans more, I think, than any other fan base. Maybe the Niners too, I guess.
Well, that was the whole thing throughout the playoff run. Was like, if you didn't get them this year, when are you going to get them? Mahomes had to go in the Chiefs.
We talked about that for sure.
The toughest playoff stretch anybody's ever gone through on the road against, or on the road after hosting Miami, but on the road against Baltimore and Buffalo and that stretch. And absolutely, that was, you're right, Cody.
They're throwing snowballs at Mahomes as he's running off.
Chiefs players enjoyed that because that was fun. That was,
yeah, but it's just like, good luck. You got that was their lowest offensively. Now, look, they ended up being a number 2 defense, a number 1 defense in the league. So maybe you didn't get them at their worst. But I don't know. Part of it is even if their defense is a little bit worse, their offense is going to be better. They're not going to be a worse team this year.
Yeah.
They might not still win the Super Bowl, but the Chiefs are not worse. They're not a worse team, barring some sort of injury that sets them back quite a bit. They are not a worse team than they were a year ago. And so, like, you had your shot, the door was open, and you still couldn't get him. That, like you said, the playoffs is probably the key example of that. I think right before goal, that's what it was. Right before the postseason, we had a conversation on this show that was, this is your only shot. They have to play one home game against Miami and then go road against 2 of their more difficult opponents that they've ever had. And you still, if you're the Bills, you still couldn't get him. This was your moment, and you still couldn't. You let them hoist the Lombardi again.
Yeah, I'm sure
that was your chance.
I mean, Bills fans in particular. Yeah, because I'm going on in Buffalo here in about an hour and a half. We talked to our guys, Mike Shope and Bulldog there. They come on our show. We've gotten to know them over the years.
Let them know that. If you didn't get them last year, when are you coming?
I mean, I'm sure they're going to talk about, because now it's got to the point where they're like, we got to Kansas City where they're going for a 3-peat. You know, it's like, it's one of those things now. But you're right. I will ask them about that. I mean, like, how can you guys feel like you have a shot now? Last year was your best chance. You came at the king and you missed.
You even got the home game this time.
Yep.
You got the advantage. You had you still had Stephon Diggs. You still had like all the weapons at your disposal.
Yeah, there was no fan base that had to have been sicker. They had James Cook. Well, James Cook was having a great year. He was on a roll.
Couple with their franchise history of in the 90s of just not winning, not having a ring to show for their really good teams with Kelly. Obviously.
Someone said, what station, Gold? WGR.
Yeah, Buffalo. It's our sister station. Cody and I have been on that station plenty of times during these now 4 years of the Chiefs run, and we have Mike. We've done some bets with Mike before.
Yeah, he stopped making bets with us, and I don't blame him. I think we stopped offering him. I was starting to feel kind of bad.
We did. A couple years into the show, the first few, we did some bets with different cities if the Chiefs won. And Buffalo, to their credit, as we said, good people in Buffalo, they actually paid off their bets. We got some wings sent to us, some pizza sent to us. I think some pasta 1 year maybe sent to us as well. And we never had to send anything because the Chiefs just kept beating the Bills. And we haven't tried to do any bet with Cincinnati. They don't want to. We don't want that nasty.
Plus, they don't have it. Anyway. I don't know if they
we
have.
We don't want that.
I don't want spaghetti sent to me in the mail.
We don't want Skyline Chili. The only place I'll call out again, still to this day, we have an outstanding bet that is still owed to us. And it might come back up because
that sure doesn't even exist anymore.
Because it doesn't, but the Texans might play the Chiefs in the playoffs this year. We made a bet with a Houston station, and we gave them points in that Chiefs divisional round
in which
game,
they got down 24-0. So they had 31 points at one point in the game.
We had Chiefs -6 or whatever it was. And that was the bet we agreed to. We would send them barbecue, or they had to send us barbecue. And right, we all know, as Cody said, the beginning of that game. And yet, and they were all tweeting at us. And
And
the Chiefs came back and won, and we never heard from them again. And that show, that show doesn't exist anymore, and they never paid us our barbecue.
As a matter of fact, I like to think that Odyssey, I don't know which station it was.
It was an Odyssey station.
I think that they've morality clause. They look like you're not honorable men.
Sports Radio 610 down in Houston.
Not honorable men. Didn't hold up their end of the bet.
That station as a whole still owes this show barbecue. Before the play, we're going to, you think we're not going to, if the Chiefs play CJ Stroud in the playoffs this year and that station wants us on their show, even if it's not, I'm bringing it up.
You guys
there
should
are
have
no bets happening until the old debt is paid off.
They were right next to us. You guys should have said something at the Super Bowl.
Different people.
I know, but the station owes the debt.
different PD and everything. That's
the Stationo's the
debt. You're right. That's true.
I don't care if it's Ron. At the Stationo's the debt. Well, I don't care. I'm going to let Ron know. Your Stationo's the debt. Get your PD on this.
Their old PD is one of my mentors.
Yeah, and Armin. Yep.
Tell Armin.
Do I need?
But yeah, you're right. We got to make that station pay. That's true. Got to pay up.
The fellows,
they're going to want to make a bet. Mm-hmm. There's a very good chance the Chiefs and Texans play in the playoffs this year. There's a really good chance of that happening. Yes, at Sports Radio, at Sports Radio 610, not 610 Sports Radio, not to be confusing at all. Their station is
randomly
Why did they choose Sports Radio 610 and we chose 610 Sports Radio?
Mm. They're randomly going to get a bunch of DMs and a bunch of asks.
So you owe us.
What the heck is this?
Tell them before we go on their station again and talk Chiefs Texans at any point this season, we need the barbecue.
I don't care if it's a preseason hit, postseason hit, regular season. Doesn't matter when you want to talk to us. This show is not available. Matter of fact, I'm making the entire station not available. I'm going to let everybody know they're not to go on that station until this debt is paid.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending, plus a bet that I think we're all on the same page that needs to be placed before the start of the season for the Chiefs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the Royals wrapped up their series yesterday against the Diamondbacks. Unfortunately, they lose the series after a frustrating ninth inning in which they gave up five runs. We've
tried to make
about
it interesting again in the bottom of the ninth, as always.
We've been talking.
Vinny came through the two-hit RBI.
We've been talking bullpen all day and where they go from here. And I think the consensus opinion between you and I has just been they can go and they can trade for another arm, but there's no surefire closer they're trading for at the deadline. It just doesn't really exist. They're a flawed team, but they're gonna be in this thing till the very end, and they're gonna have stretches where the bullpen is really, really good, and they're gonna have some times where it blows up in their face, and that's what happened last night. They're off today. Then a nice series, I think, big crowds ahead this weekend. We'll talk more tomorrow about it. But Cubs are in town, very winnable series. One you should
be
have
some massive crowds. You would think
Mahomes bobblehead night tomorrow, which look, it's gonna draw people out.
We got to get one of those for the Coding Gold Garage Show. The bobbleheads did really about going tomorrow well
night. I am thinking about going tomorrow night, and if I get there early enough, you know, we can swing a little bobblehead.
Next up on Watch Trending, the Dodgers are to sign Jordan Lyles to a minor league deal. That, according to John Heyman, he put a little more vague than that. He said he's hearing he's going to sign a minor league deal with them. Obviously, he would probably need a little bit of ramp-up time. He hasn't pitched since April. Obviously, you remember him. He signed a two-year, $17 million deal with the Royals. Pitched all of last season, a lot of innings for this team, and eventually enough wins to get this show a bottle of Dom. I don't know what's going on. You know, like, if he immediately comes back here, that would indicate that the Royals, and like, if he starts pitching immediately for them in the minors, that would indicate what we kind of thought happened there. Jordan Lyles hit a deadline where he's like, hey, put me back on the roster. Royals couldn't figure out a way to do it, and then they just had to cut ties with him, which they got late enough in the season, kind of made sense. They were a winning team, but I don't know. The Dodgers find a way to use him. Maybe that's interesting to me.
Next up on What's Trending, injury front update for the Chiefs. We learned from Matt Derrick today at Chiefs Digest that Justin Watson reportedly just a couple days of an injury with that foot, so nothing too serious. Great news. Also, yeah. Sam McDowell, the star, saying he's hearing Nazi Johnson, who left with that knee injury, not serious either. So that puts them in a good spot. We were a little worried about that yesterday. Love that update, that's for sure.
Next up on What's Trending, the Denver Broncos and wide receiver Cortland Sutton have received a contract restructure that adds $1.5 million worth of incentives to his deal in order to get him to show up to Broncos camp. That, according to Adam Schefter, he's signed through the 2025 season. He's set to make $13.5 million this year, but now has an additional $1.5 million in bonuses available to him. A little bit like the Chris Jones deal last year. The long-term contract wasn't going to get done, Gold. So you're like, hey, here's a chance to earn a little bit more money. If you put some numbers on the board, we'll pay you. We don't really care. But it's not really an extension. He still wants to get paid top of the mark money. Because the Cowboys are going to see Stephen Jones talk today. He said that they've got a salary crunch because he says Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb both feel that they should be the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. And well, Dak Prescott would like to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. It's a problem.
They're negotiating against themselves.
Yeah.
That's the situation Jerry Jones put himself in, because you're exactly right. Each one wants to be the highest paid. But they're negotiating against, they're on the same team. It's a problem. That's why you don't let this happen. That's what's trending, by the way. And here in a little bit, you're going to love to hear some audio from Jerry Jones anyway, because he had his State of the Cowboys address today. That's what they did.
Uh-oh.
And he compared himself to Patrick Mahomes. So,
oh my God, I got to hear this. What?
Yeah,
did you hear it?
Yeah, Drew's cutting it. I sent him the link. We'll get it. We'll play
all this while he's in court over some real weird
paternity
stuff.
Paternity test or something. Uh-huh. Paternity case. Remember, he's the same attorney as Rashee Rice. Anyway, so
that guy's got his hands full.
He's a very good attorney. Right?
I mean, good attorneys are busy. Good point.
But no, we'll play the audio. Yes, Jerry Jones compared himself to Patrick Mahomes. Just let that marinate in your brain for a second.
Yeah, whenever that audio is ready, just... Because I got to hear it now. I mean...
Yeah, he didn't... I mean, look, he did not say he's as athletically gifted. Don't worry, that was not... But he still compared himself to Patrick Mahomes in some way. And I've seen the quote, but I'm waiting for I haven't heard the actual audio. I've seen the quote, and we are going to have the audio in just a second.
That's incredible.
Also, someone on the text line says, it's the name of a radio host down at Sports Radio 610 in Houston who owes us barbecue. They said, Patrick Creighton says hi. I don't know. Did you guys text them? How did that happen?
He
has text them.
Is he one of the people who owes us?
No, it's not him, but he works at that station now.
The station owes us.
Yeah, he works at that station now.
You guys owe a debt for your fallen brethren. Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're still... I don't remember. Do you remember the names of the host? I don't. I feel really bad, but it's been like 5 or 6 years now.
Oh, boy. I don't. I do not at all.
Okay.
I think the whole show might be gone. Now, if someone just moved to a different time slot, then that means that guy's still there and still responsible. I'll have to go back and look.
What year was that? 2020?
It was the first year doing the show.
So, yeah, 2020.
It's been a while. 4 years, wasn't it? It was year one, right?
It was year one.
So that was
it was the comeback. It was the Patrick Mahomes comeback down 21 before they won this. I mean, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd have to go back through. Tell Patrick Creighton he owes a debt.
Here's the audio of Jerry Jones comparing himself to Patrick Mahomes today.
We are so involved in trying to see where we are with our situations, that is a major part of seeing the leaves fall, seeing the time go by, seeing this day and this week, how they go by. And by the way, fault. I have, in my life, played option quarterback so many times and wait until the last leaf on the tree. And I, if you want to picture an option, pure option quarterback going out to the sideline, I have run that ball and kept it and not hand it off to the back, not pitch it back, not throw it. And I have run that thing all the way out to the sideline before I made the decision. Because I couldn't get whatever it took to, it wasn't right for me to make the decision. And so what our fans, what you're seeing, what we deal with is we're buying time. We're option quarterbacking, and we're going on out toward the sideline, and we haven't handed it off. We haven't pitched it. We're trying to make our mind up what to do. Does that sound like Mahomes to you? A little bit? Okay. It do. It really do.
What is this?
So having said that, I'm just trying to give you a description here. That's what we're doing. And we're waiting for something to happen in the morning.
I had not heard the audio. All I know is somebody said Jerry Jones compared himself to Mahomes. He mentioned Mahomes. The whole thing was weird. He was trying to say that they're being patient and waiting the last minute to sign a deal. But right now, to explain where he's at, picture him as the option quarterback. And at the last second, they haven't pitched the ball yet. What a weird way to describe your current contract situation.
I was gonna say right now.
With star players.
It do sound like Patrick Mahomes.
It do, Jerry.
Does that sound like Patrick Mahomes? It do.
That was great.
Oh, man. Woo. Dude.
Man, Jerry.
We talk about this all the time.
Yikes.
Bad ownership can absolutely bury your franchise.
A little bit. Okay. It do.
It do.
He almost said it properly, and then he had to switch it.
He was like, I don't want to say it does.
It really do.
It really do. Also,
I'm very confused
by the analogy. Can I say that? He was talking about running out of bounds. He made it sound like they were waiting too long to make decisions, and that's not Patrick Mahomes. I was like, what are you talking about?
That sound like Mahomes to you? Okay.
What? I'll just tell you this. I love the fact this is 2 days in a row that people have essentially admitted they hate their circumstance more than the guy that they have. It was Jamar Chase yesterday when he won't say Patrick Mahomes' name.
I'm not saying his name, brother. I'm sorry.
And then Jerry. Joe Burrow. Yeah, and then Jerry Jones being like, does that sound like Patrick Mahomes to you? Waiting to the last minute, making the right calls? It do. Okay.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry.
It do.
It do.
It really do.
Yeah, we'll get that saved in the system for future.
Nice.
It do. Anytime we're having a conversation, like, does that make sense, Cody?
It do. It really do.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Thinking of the Chiefs a little bit, though, and looking at it, I think there is a bet that you have to place for this season. We were talking this out earlier. Listen to our friends over at BetQL. This was Nick Ashew. Credit to him for finding this as a possible bet for this upcoming season.
That's a deep dive bet. Can I get that one on just like the standard betting sites?
Yeah, this is the bet he was talking about.
The Chiefs to score a touchdown pass in every single game is 6-1.
Really?
They did that every single game except against Denver last year. Remember that debacle they had in Denver?
Yeah, Mahomes.
Mahomes was just not Mahomes at all. The Chiefs to have a touchdown pass thrown in every single game is 6-1 right now.
So as he said, they did it in all but the one, the weird Broncos game, in a year in which the offense was down, the wide receiver room was a mess, they still only almost cashed that bet. Now, almost doesn't bring it home, but still, we all think things should be better.
I know, when you're talking about, like, think about like a parlay. When you're talking about, you're essentially having to, like, someone needs to do something 17 consecutive times. There's very few things you can be sure
correct
about that.
Right. Now, let's look on the downside of this, how it goes wrong. It's that they play 17 games, and in week 18, they bench everybody. Mm-hmm. You're relying on Carson Wentz, maybe, to throw a touchdown pass. It could happen, but that's what's in play. It doesn't have to be a Mahomes throw, any passing touchdown. It could be a trick play or whatever. Right, but they have the same to win the Super Bowl. They're 6-1 right now.
That's what I thought was most interesting.
6-1 to win the Super Bowl, 6-1 to throw a passing touchdown every game. I would rather bet the passing touchdown every game.
Not just because it might cash 6 weeks earlier.
Yeah, that too. Like, look, like you said, we're going to probably both end up picking the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl again. But I would rather say, let's make some money off of the 6-1 every passing touchdown than bet on the Super Bowl.
Like, how many career games, like without even looking, how many career games do you think Patrick Mahomes has without a touchdown. It can't be that many. His first career game ever, he didn't have a passing touchdown. I don't think anybody in the team did. So, okay, fine. But since he's been a full-time starter, in 2018, he had one game against Jacksonville in week 5 of the regular season. Again, I'm not looking to see if somebody else did it. He didn't have one against Detroit, a game in which he was injured, right, on the QB sneak. No, that was a game after. He didn't have one against Detroit in which he finished with 315 yards in 2019. In 2020, he threw a passing touchdown in every single game. And in 2021, he had two games in which he did not throw a passing touchdown. And then in 2022, he had zero games in which he did not do it. And one last year that you mentioned in Denver. So he's about a 50-50 shot, if you want to know, for him. That, again, as you mentioned, does not include if they had Kadarius Toney throw the passing touchdown. Just has to be someone. Now, the odds are, if he didn't throw a passing touchdown, nobody did. So, like, 50-50 shot? I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Do you think it's a... But, like, I like the weapons better. I like the setup better. I like the offense better. I think Patrick Mahomes, and we can talk about this more tomorrow, is in for a big statistical season. And so, if that's the case, and I like that bet. That's a good bet. That's a good five. I didn't cash you.
Yeah, 6-1. Not bad when you compare it to the Super Bowl odds that are out there. And there's always, with any bet you make season long, duh, injury comes into play, right? That's always.
Then you got to count on Carson Wentz to get you a touchdown again
at that point. But I don't like it. I mean, I don't hate it. One other one that's part of this is when you look at the bet that furthers this at 16-1. You can do that. They'll have a passing touchdown and a field goal in every game as well. I don't like that one at all.
Oh, man.
Because then you're rooting for them not to. Then you're hoping that a drive stalls out and Butker's kick. I don't like that one at all. If they have a game where they just boat race their opponent, they just don't kick a field goal. They just don't kick one.
Got to kick a lot of field goals. Andy's kind of conservative in that regard. I don't think it's worth the 10-1, if that makes sense. I don't mind the bet gold. I want better odds if I'm going to do it. I'd rather just stick to the 6-1 and do it that way. Play my bet that way rather than do it there. I added it up, by the way. 7 career games in which he did not throw a passing touchdown. And in looking at the box scores for those games, it looks like 2 of those somebody else did. So there's 5 career games in which a passing touchdown wasn't thrown in a Patrick Mahomes game. And one was his very first start ever. And one was that weirdo game against the Broncos last year. So, yeah, I just have a hard time not wanting to take that bet. It just seems a little too obvious, I guess. But maybe we talk about that all the time. I already bet. We talked about it the second that those yardage totals came out for Travis Kelce. I bet Travis Kelce's over immediately upon learning how low it was.
And were these 750.5, we all kind of like the under yardage-wise.
Now, look, I'm assuming that they make these lines to get bets on both sides, but I think sometimes there's an advantage in knowing a local team a lot better than what, like, a national bookmaker necessarily would. They're asking to get bets from literally anybody in the country. Everybody else in the country thinks Xavier Worthy, first-round pick for the high-flying Kansas City Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes. There probably are bets on the over for Xavier Worthy that exist outside this market. You and I have watched the Chiefs play every year, understand where the market inefficiency might be for them. I'm not blind to it, but Patrick, like the Travis Kelce over-under, he's never been below that, except for the one year he tore his ACL, his first season in the league. Yeah, he has literally hit that over every other year he's been in the NFL.
Someone says, why not bet both sides? There's not a no bet available on the 6-1. Like, yeah, that there's some books that offer on certain things, a yes or no, a two-way market or whatever. I wish. Yeah, no, it's simple.
Otherwise, it's a guaranteed win.
You guys have seen it on FanDuel on Sundays. It'll be like, will every team kick a field goal? And it's, you know, plus 50, you know, whatever, 12-1.
Somebody won a bunch of money on that one last year.
There's usually not a no option, you know.
Because they don't want you.
Yes. So I wish. Yeah, obviously, if there was a no option, yes, you would bet 6-1. Yes. And whatever
and then cover whatever your bet is on the 6-1. And then that way it's a free bet.
But no. It doesn't, unfortunately. There are some bets.
They got you figured
out. And one book in particular does offer two-way betting, but not on everything, not on the specialty kind of market bets.
No.
They'll do two-way on let's say there's an anytime touchdown bet. Will Travis Kelce have a touchdown? It might be plus 300, let's say. To not have one, it might be minus 800 or what,
they're getting the juice back on either side to make this bet worth it for them. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, like when you're getting a two-way bet, they're getting it on both ends, essentially, in order to cover they're going to make it prohibitive to be betting both sides of it for the most part. And you're not looking to break even. That's not the whole point of, you know what I'm saying? Like, some guy's not in there just to do it. Like, you've got to cash the 3-1 ticket. If you don't, then you've just kind of maybe broke even, and you've got to risk quite a bit in order to do that. So No, I like the bet a lot. I'm sure we'll get more over and unders as time go on. The one we got hung up on before I left was all of a sudden those receiving props were out, and I was like, whoo, these are not the way I was expecting them to go at all.
It really do.
I think the funniest part of that is that he almost said it does, like, properly, and then he corrected himself.
You might need to save in the system, the part where he's trying to do it. I think that actually we need one that has the full. I think okay.
We need
both options for future shows, you know?
Patrick Mahomes just slowly driving an earworm into the rest of the league that they just can't get him out of their head. And look, I don't blame him. I can't, you know, if I were an NFL team, like a franchise, right? Obviously, the players come and go, so, like, their feelings towards the players that are in the league change quite a bit. For a matter of, you know, like, there's so many players in the league that just didn't even play with Tom Brady or barely played with Tom Brady. Played with him when he won the one Super Bowl, but not when he was, like, dominating the entire league. If you're Jerry Jones, you spent the last 20 years having the league completely run by one dude, only to immediately have that happen again. Like, you didn't even get a reprieve. It's not even like remember, we always thought maybe it was going to be, like, a triumvirate. Like, it was going to be a group of quarterbacks who battled it out now that Brady was off the scene. And no. It's one man. It is Patrick Mahomes running the rest of the league. If you're planning on winning a Super Bowl, you better plan on beating Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. AFC or NFC, by the way. Patrick Mahomes plays in, what, four of the last five Super Bowls? Four of the last six? Like, including the one he's lost? I mean, he plays in two-thirds of every Super Bowl game. If you were planning on winning the Super Bowl, you better figure out a way to beat Patrick Mahomes in a football game, or you are not likely to do it. Or your odds of doing it are so significantly, you know, like... You get the one lucky year when it was Rams, Bengals in the Super Bowl. And then if you're the Rams, you can take the win.
That year was really crazy, though, but I think because the way the playoffs went.
Rams shouldn't have been the team. Neither of those teams, I don't think, were the better team.
In general, the way that it went, it was one of the craziest part about it, too, is that the Chiefs, if the Chiefs score a point to end the first half, they didn't even have to score a touchdown. If they kicked a field goal, I think the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
They're up three touchdowns instead of 18 points.
If they get it, it's definitely over. So that's always the most difficult thing when you're making those like hairline decisions. And it's why teams say you should go for two when you're up seven or when you're up six. It's actually, what is it? Not seven, whatever it is. Instead of kicking the extra point,
would have two chances to get the 2-point conversion as the thought process.
Yeah. There's math behind it. I mean, I understand the logic behind it.
Sometimes
you got to just like take the shots that you make it. Someone says Cody needs to play that clip for his media class. Teach him how to do press conference stuff.
First day of class.
I did fake the time I taught before at Adelaide. I did fake press conferences.
You could have a Deshaun Foster from UCLA going 1 minute in his opening presser.
Deshaun Foster, the actually former a good lesson. Carolina running back.
Maybe he was the
one of the guys. Is just a different Deshaun Foster.
I think he was the running backs coach at UCLA.
Deshaun Foster.
He's the head coach now at UCLA. Went 1 minute, not even a minute.
Well,
into his
don't ask him a question. If you don't ask him, that's on you. Like, the media's job is to continue to ask questions.
Asked him questions, but normally, so Coach Drinkwitz, Coach Kleiman, Coach Leipold all went 10 plus minutes giving their spiel about the program, the team, where they're at, yada, yada, yada. Sean Foster gave maybe 30 seconds, and it wasn't anything besides. If you don't know UCLA, we have a lot of championships. I'm just really excited for this season to start. And then there was like 15 seconds of nothing. And they said, I'm just ready for the season to start. And it ended up being like 10 total minutes. But completely the opposite of what Coach Drinkwitz and the rest of the
world. And what Jerry Jones did with that answer.
Jerry Jones was talked longer.
I'm not even sure what.
Oh, well, Jerry, this is his State of the Cowboys. Like, seriously, that's what they call it, the State of the Cowboys. And he does this whole long press conference.
Of course it's called that.
Long press conference.
Someone will have to remind me because, like, I saw that Harbaugh hype video for the Chargers. Did the Chiefs do that when they hired Andy Reid? Was there like a big hype video thing? I was gonna dunk on him, but then I realized maybe the Chiefs did the same thing with Andy Reid, so maybe I should just let it go.
Harbaugh's another one that'll give you some interesting, you know. Other than the 2-day, what was the one?
He had one yesterday that was ridiculous.
What was it?
He said that it was like being born out of the womb.
Oh yeah, he said training camp is like being born again.
It's some weird.
I need to fade Brandy out real quick so I can just play it.
2-day. We'll see you tomorrow.
We will see you tomorrow in St. Joe. Looking forward to that. We'll have a Chiefs player join us exclusively on set. First padded practice. So hope to see you guys up in St. Joe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. C-Dot and Rob coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.